From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The Oscars were heavily criticized for being too white. So we took notice when the small-budget film K-Town Cowboys out of Koreatown in Los Angeles came out this week. It's a coming-of-age tale about a crew of young Korean guys, bros, who party hard and try to figure out what they want to do with their lives. This hour on Point, K-Town Cowboys, and a slice of Asian American life right now. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Korean Americans, Asian Americans, what's the story you want told on film of real Asian American life right now? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. With me now from Los Angeles is Brian Chung, producer of the new film, K-Town Cowboys. Brian Chung, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
Also with us from L.A. is Shane Yoon, who plays Jason in the film, a young man who inherits his wealthy father's business. Shane, welcome. Great to have you.
Thank you.
And Danny Cho is with us, a comedian you may know as China Joe from a couple of appearances in Parks and Recreation. He's co-writer of K-Town Cowboys and plays Danny, who leaves a cushy job to become a comedian. Danny Cho, welcome. So good to have you with us today.
Hi, Tom.
Let us just get a little bit of the movie in our ears. Here's a little taste of Koreatown from the new film, K-Town Cowboys.
The bars in L.A. close early, but there are some spots in K-Town that are still open. You just have to know where to look. When you get to the spot, be subtle and act cool. I don't know how they stay open, and I don't ask any questions. They don't serve hard liquor, just soju, beer, and food. And after two, you don't see any bottles. They use Dixie cups.
It's a treat just to get into this world and see it through a straight-ahead lens. Brian Chung, this started out on the web, and what was the idea? It's some years ago now when this started coming up as a YouTube episodes, I guess. What was the idea then? What's the idea now, Brian?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was actually not involved in the web series. I was more just a fan, and when I had an opportunity to work with Danny Cho, who was a co-creator, that's kind of when we started the discussion on the feature film. But I think Danny can really chime in and talk about the web series a little bit
more. Danny, take us there. Yeah. Take us back 2009 or so. So we're talking a ways back.
I had a full head of hair when I started writing, Tom. But
that happens, man.
but you know, in 2009, the director Daniel Park and I, we were just talking at a bar, and we were wondering why there wasn't stories that we could relate to on TV. And since we were just, you know, broke, we decided, we'll do something. And so we just compiled a bunch of stories of me and my friends, and we made it into a web series without any experience in making anything like that. So,
did you have inspiration? Were you thinking like Judd Apatow and his 40-year-old virgin, all that stuff, or Todd Phillips and the Hangover series? I mean, they seem in that vein broadly to me, or was it just... This is what you did.
It's, you know, I'm a fan of both those guys, but these stories are really based off of real stories, like in the web series, in terms of getting into certain fights at certain historic places and things like that. It was really a recreation of all of our fun stories when we were dumb kids, I guess.
Introduce us to the main characters in K-Town Cowboys, if you would, Danny.
Okay, so Shane, who's in the room, he plays Jason, and Jason is he's about to inherit his father's company, except for the fact that his father passed away early, and so you know he's dealing with whether or not he's supposed to take over the company or do his own thing, you know. And I think that's a common theme for a handful of the characters. There's another character named Sonny,
yep,
who owns a liquor store, and it's not because he wanted to, it's because his dad owned it, and he's not doing so hot, you know, physically, so he just took over. Because, you know, there's a thing about, you know, being the eldest son in a family in a Korean culture that you have to kind of take care of your parents. I mean, I'm sure that's a universal thing. I hope all kids take care of their parents, but more importantly, it's very, very, I mean, in Korea, you live with your parents until you get married.
Yep.
And so that's one issue.
And in K-Town too, is that true?
I unfortunately don't live with my parents and I'm not married, so my parents look at me like I'm American.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's Sonny and there's Jason, who Shane Yoon plays, and of course you're there as the comic.
Yeah.
And then you've got Peter, the fourth of the bros here.
Yeah, Peter, a lot of people describe him as kind of like Johnny Drama from Entourage, but really Peter is, it's based off of his real life where he's this big bulky guy, but you know, he went to fashion school and he wanted to be a designer. And so, you know, it didn't really make sense.
Like, I mean, fashion even the designer.
Fashion designer, men's fashion. He graduated from FIT in New York.
Yeah.
And, but everyone was like, it doesn't make sense for this big Hulk, you know, bulky guy to be a fashion designer. Yeah. Even the costume designer was like, that doesn't make sense in the story. And I'm like, that happened in real life, dude. That's what he is, you know?
Live with it. Live with it. It happened.
Yeah, live with it. And then there's Robbie, who plays an adopted Korean. I mean, he's not adopted in real life, but he did actually go to Korea to kind of find his identity. And
next
so,
number five,
and
Robbie adopted by white American parents, but looking for that ID.
Yes. And Robbie is, you know, he's a singer-songwriter. And in real life, Bobby Choi, who plays Robbie, he is a real singer-songwriter. He's actually in South by Southwest right now performing.
That's pretty great. I've got tape here of you, Shane Yoon, playing Jason. Mm-hmm. And this is at the, early on, you're talking about, introducing yourself to the audience.
I never had any real responsibilities, but after my dad passed away, I had to put on a suit and tie, show up every day to the family business, and pretend to look important.
Look, Matt, it's right there.
Yeah, I gotta go.
You figured out Captain Calculator. Well, you got it. You all got it. Oh, boys. Well, here is my 12-year-old boss.
Are you Mr. Kim?
Yeah, but what is going on here right now?
Shane Yoon playing Jason.
He's ooh, edgy. We had to bleep out that word.
So edgy, huh? We're right out on the edge.
Because life is rated R.
Well, yes, it is in public radio terms. Shane, did you feel like you were dealing in caricature here, or this is a character that you really know or would recognize from Koreatown, from K-Town?
Definitely. I think what Danny was talking about, it's one of those things where if you're the eldest son, especially if you have a family business, you're kind of expected to take over that business, whether you like it or not. And I think that's just something universal to a lot of people who are in that situation, whether you're Asian, white, black, Latino, whatever. Like, for me personally, I think what I brought to the character was when I had a full-time job, you know, I was in women's shoes, okay. The women's shoes business.
All right,
Al Bundy. Yeah. And, you know, I was on this path of, you know, just going, making money, doing, you know, that job, security. But there's a part of me that really wanted to explore acting and the entertainment world. And I think that was the decision. Like, do I stay on this path of stability where, you know, you're just going to own a home by this age, you know, you'll get married, have kids, or do I want to take this leap, you know, into this business? And you're just always that inner conflict, I guess, of what you're trying to choose. And this is the path I chose, and we're here now speaking to you, Tom.
Okay. Here
about
we are.
Our movie opening today.
Yeah,
we made it.
Woohoo, you made it. All those YouTubes, and now it's a movie. Here's a little bit more from K-Town Cowboys. Danny, played by Danny Cho, takes a call from Mindy, played here by Angie Kim. You know, it's a slice of life. She needs someone to pick her up, a very particular life, from the airport.
You want me to tell Jason you guys are arriving tomorrow?
Can you also tell Jason Opa they're arriving at LAX at 11 a.m.? Like, if you can pick us up?
Yeah, sure, Mindy, but you guys are baller status. Why don't you just order car service or something?
You know how my dad is?
He is, like, so stingy.
We are sitting in economy right now.
What exactly is that accent, Danny? Is this Valley Girl meets Koreatown? What is that?
I like to call it the K-Town accent, where it's Valley Girl meets Chola, like a Mexican gangster, you know what I mean? And so the accent, actually, I had a coach, Angie, how to speak like that because I've dated a handful
crank it
of
up,
girls.
You mean? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, that, oh, my God, really, Tom? I'm in an NPR? It's like so, like, and that's how they talk. And so that's how I...
Very dramatic.
Yeah, very, very dramatic.
Everything's life or death.
Yeah, I love just the way you take us right in there. So here's the deal. I mean, we'll talk more, but Brian Chung, you got into this. These guys had already started it. How do you see what's up? Is this just good entertainment? Or is this, are you trying to say, no more Mr. Miyagi, no more Bruce Lee, no more dumping all Asian Americans into one big vat, into one big pot, let's get real, let's make life now? Is there a, you know, political effort here, or just guys making a film?
No, it's totally funny. We talk about this whole storm of diversity issue in Hollywood, and we're kind of getting swept up in it. And that was never our intention for any of us. I think all of us just wanted to make a film, and we never looked at it as making a political statement. But no one was helping us out, so screw it, let's just do it ourselves. And we've kind of inadvertently looks like are in the forefront of this conversation. And the thing is, we don't shun away from it. I think it's something that, even though we didn't intend to be here to talk about this thing, I think it is a very important issue. And in a lot of ways, for us trying not to, to try to do something without purposely trying to force that message, we're hoping possibly that might become even a more forceful message. In a sense that, look, we're just regular guys. We don't need to go on film and try to step on a soapbox and yell from the mountaintops. We're just going to be us and just watch us.
I love it. We're going to go right there, just keeping it, up to date. We're talking with young Korean Americans about their lives in America in L.A. right now, the Asian American experience in 2016 in a way, and the new film K-Town Cowboys, as in Koreatown, L.A. Back in Korea, everybody knows about Gangnam Style, but here in the U.S., it's a kind of bro film, takes you into the culture, the nightlife, the lives of five young guys just finding their way. This is On Point.
Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. And we're talking this hour about the new movie out of Koreatown in L.A. It's called K-Town Cowboys. It's a comedy, kind of a bro, coming-of-age film, really unhooked, unleashed from all the old stereotypes that Asian Americans have had to live with and deal with in Hollywood for a long, long time. It's more in the style of Judd Apatow or Todd Phillips, the Hangover movies, or 40-Year-Old Virgin, somewhere in that vein. Brian Chung is with us, producer of K-Town Cowboys, also in L.A. with us today. Danny Cho, co-writer and actor who plays Danny, comedian. He is a comedian in life and in this film. And Shane Yoon is with us. He plays Jason, one of the guys, one of the bros, inherits his wealthy father's business in the movie. You can join us this hour. What's it mean to be Korean-American, Asian-American in 2016? Anything different? Sky's the limit? Are you still up against old assumptions? All work, no play, all study, no games? What's the real happening face of Korean-American, Asian-American youth culture now? Does this sound like it to you, or at least a piece of it? For a long time, it was just kind of one stereotype or another. I mean, not so bad, but here's Bruce Lee, 1973, Enter the Dragon. You say Asian, Asian-American, Hollywood comes back with Kung Fu. And then, just at the White Oscars, as they came to be called just a couple of weeks ago, ultimately the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences apologized for this moment in the evening's events when Chris Rock, after, 20 Asian-American Academy members complained when he brought three kids on stage, two Asian and one presumably Jewish, the accountants.
The results of tonight's Academy Awards have been tabulated by the accounting firm of Price, Waterhouse, and Cooper. They sent us their most dedicated, accurate, and hard-working representatives. So I want you to please welcome Ming Zhu, Bao Ling, and David Moskowitz.
Boom. Little kids and stereotypes on parade. In K-Town Cowboys, it's more complicated. Here's a scene. Robbie, played by Bobby Choi, is dating Esther, Camilla Greenberg. They're having dinner with Robbie's parents, and his mother, played by Rhonda Aldrich. These are his white parents. Ventures into awkward territory. He's adopted. Robbie's adopted. His parents and his girlfriend are white.
Say something beautiful in Korean to this beautiful girlfriend of yours.
Ma, I forgot all my Korean.
Oh, very funny, Robbie. Do you know how to make Korean traditional food, Esther?
No, I can't say that I do, Mrs. K.
Oh, well, I guess you and Robbie will just eat at McDonald's, and that will be very nice for you, I guess. It's best to forget the past, I think.
She's about to cry. Linda in Richmond, Virginia, you are on with cast and producer from K-Town Cowboys.
Hi. Well, I think this is fantastic. I'm half Korean and half whatever else, right?
Okay, yep.
And I'm now 49, and what you all talked about was my life, and I'm a lawyer, and so, you know, lawyers kind of have to speak, but I remember when I went to Korea with my mom, who's Korean, to visit, and we met her side of the family, well, we met her family, my family, and I was with my uncle, the eldest uncle, and I was talking, and my mom kicked me under the table.
shut up, you're not supposed to talk, is that the idea?
Oh, absolutely, and at the time I was a captain in the Army also,
yeah.
And so...
In the U.S. Army, okay, watch out. Yeah.
U.S. Army, and I jumped out of airplanes.
Yeah,
so,
but can't talk to your uncle in Korea.
Exactly. And so when finally it came out that I, you know, was a captain in the Army, well, then my uncle was, you know, very impressed, duly impressed, you know, with the status, right? And
yeah.
So your film definitely resonates. And not only does it resonate on a comedic level and just the storytelling, but Asian, you know, what I found, I had a little political adventure and I decided to take a huge risk. So it was kind of a combination of, you know, women that I think can take more risks in the political world and just kind of go for it. And
you are bold, Captain Lawyer, political risk taker person, Linda. You're bold.
I became a prosecutor for a long time, and then at some point, you know, I was the dutiful, studious, hardworking Asian American, and then I'm like, you know, there's not enough, like. Well, it's a long story, but I dove into the political world and just took a risk. And then I found that, you know, the Asian American community in our country, or at least in my state, they tend to nestle in and mind their own business, do their own thing, work really hard, become doctors or lawyers or, you know, whatever, or small business owners. And they don't always, and again, I'm stereotyping here, but they tend to not be as vocal, and so the voice could be stronger if I think, you know, not wanting to be vocal comes from getting kicked under the table by your mom when you're growing up.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are really interesting issues, and then you combine the filial piety with the Asian world and the legacy of what it means to really grow up in the Asian world with the independence risk-taking spirit of the Western American culture. And it's really they're the comedic tensions, their storytelling, it's political, it's everything. So hats off to you for doing this movie, and really excited to see it. It definitely resonates with me as somebody that's had a lot of experience on a lot of different fronts with some of these same issues.
Linda, I'm really glad for your call. I'm glad for the whole thing. And we're picturing you jumping out of airplanes and dealing with your uncle in Korea all at the same time.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. Respect and pipe down. Okay. But as I listen to that, I mean, Brian and Danny and Shane, you know, she's telling the story of all this accomplishment, and it's right there in the American mainstream, U.S. Army, for heaven's sakes. And at the same time, she's, you know, you hear it, dutiful, studious, nestling in, doctors and lawyers, not vocal, filial piety, which sounds like the old portrait. So which is it? What is it? Or is it all this?
Hey, first off, if Linda's still there, I'd like to thank her for her service. I, myself, was also an Army captain. And interestingly Ooh, wow. enough, if it wasn't for the United States Army, this movie probably never happened.
Why?
In a weird way.
In a very weird and roundabout way. So Danny, obviously, yeah. as you know, is a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And through a mutual friend that was in the Army, he contacted us and said, hey, how do I start performing for the troops? I want to perform for the troops. And our production company ended up kind of making that connection with Danny and the United States military. He ended up touring... pretty much every single major U.S. Army installation in the United States. And the soldiers loved him, and I think all the officers hated him because of his brand of humor. We were given a call, please don't let that guy ever come back again, from the officers. And all the we were getting emails from the soldiers like, we love that guy, bring him back. And that's when we kind of actually started talking about K-Town Cowboys, the movie. And interestingly enough, there also, I think because of the type of humor that Danny has, that really resonates with that, you know, even my community, which is the United States military, the type of guys that are loyal to each other,
mm-hmm.
They are crass at times, but they say what's on their mind. And I think that type of comedy will resonate with some people, but I think at the same time, you know, some people might be shocked when they see that. And I think that was like a good microcosm of the humor of Danny Cho, aka the humor of K-Town Cowboys.
Yeah. Danny, you co-wrote this. Were you trying to blow away all the old stereotypes or say, look, a lot of that stuff is out there, filial piety and the rest, but it is also part of all this bigger scene? What's the compass setting there, Danny?
Well, I mean, I didn't write it, you know, with the idea of trying to change anything. I mean, you know, ultimately, I think the one thing that people should understand is that there's a big difference between Asian and Asian American, mm-hmm. and that's one thing that people don't understand, so they just put us all as Asian.
But that, you know? American chunk is a big deal.
It's a big deal because, I mean, you know, I was born and raised here. I went to school here. I pay taxes, you know, and so I'm as American as a lot of people. But I, you know, when I was in corporate America, they still look at me like I'm Asian, you know, and they go, I remember my boss goes, hey, Dan, I tried green tea for the first time. I'm like, why are you telling me? I didn't invent it, you know, but that's, you know, it's not, there was no malice in it, but, you know, it's kind of the ignorance because they just go, hey, you know, this is what it is, you know? So I wrote it just going, I just want to see stories about my friends because I haven't seen them. Those stories, you know, in TV and in movies.
And yet,
so that was really the... Go ahead.
Sorry, just that you don't ignore that. I got a little clip here. So excuse me, Danny, but it was kind of right down that line where Robbie's, played by Bobby Choi again, is stuck in a job that he hates. And here, his boss, is a white guy played by Bobby Reed, asks him about his ethnicity and then asks him to tell another person in the office.
You go see her. Third floor. You go tell that person.
Tell her what?
Jesus Christ, Robert, haven't you been listening? You go tell that you're Korean. And then you tell her she owes me a G by the end of business.
You bet on my ethnicity?
Uh-huh.
You bet on my ethnicity? I mean, boom. Oh, boy. Man. Oh, boy. David is calling from Los Angeles. David, you are on with our K-Town Cowboys crew.
What's up, K-Town Cowboys? Love this
film. David.
I think you guys nailed it. You know, we're dealing with this Oscars so white stuff, the thing that's going on, you know, here in Hollywood. And I think all of a sudden, here comes your movie. Perfect timing. I know you didn't set out to do it that way, but you know what? All it shows that we've got the talent that's out there to write stories and to do it through comedy. If we're going to educate people, push the needle, you guys are like telling the story through comedy. And the cool thing about your film is that I think a lot of people can relate to that, whether they're Asian, Asian American, or if they're, you know, anyone. I think any American can relate to the film. So hats off to you. I mean, the layers that you guys bring to this film, from, you know, kids who have to respect their parents, kids who are taking care of their parents, you know, kids who are living with their parents, and then try to have a life of their own so they get together and they run through K-Town is just really totally lots of fun. So I just want to say hats off to you. My question is, you know, when you guys wrote this, were you writing this really just to give us and to give your audience layers of all this that goes into what it means to be someone who's thriving and surviving in their 20s in L.A.?
Shane, you want to pick that one up?
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, when Danny created the web series even, you know, we just kind of set off to do something a little bit different. I think for us, we had, I think what it is being Asian and Asian American, what we were talking about earlier is like, I think our parents didn't really have the luxury of us to pursue a career in entertainment, you know? Mm-hmm. That's why they just kind of forced us to study and, you know, this is the way to success. This is how you do it. Mm-hmm. But now we have the luxury to actually explore this kind of career. And I think it's very important for Asians as a whole in America to say, to have a voice, you know, and I think film and TV is a very powerful medium for us to shape the way other people view us and see us. So,
But you're not trying to say in this movie that everything is homogenized, everything is just like in K-Town, Koreatown, the rest of the country. There's a moment here where your character, Shane Jason, describes a practice in Korean bars called booking.
So welcome to a K-Town club. It's like your typical club, but there's a thing called booking. Booking is a practice in which waiters bring girls to a table to sit with the guys. The guys can then sit and talk to the girls or tell them to leave depending on interest. If things go really well, the girl will take you by the hand and either dance with you on the dance floor or take you to a dark corner of the club for some other activities.
Danny Cho, you're not trying to say this is like every other bar anywhere in America. This is a distinctive culture at the same time as you guys are making your American way.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think of us as the burrito. The burrito is, everyone thinks is a Mexican food, but it's not originated from Mexico. It was actually made here, you know? But that's what, I mean, we're nachos, we're burritos. It was made in America, except, you know, it has ties to the motherland.
The ingredients.
Yes,
are
yes.
Asian. You yeah. Know?
I mean, I'm a kind of a chubby dude. That's why I said the burrito.
Yeah, let's talk about food. Okay.
But really, you know, my goal, and I say this on stage sometimes, is I wish there were more Asian basketball players, so I can say Jeremy Lin isn't that good without looking like a traitor. You know,
right,
I want more options.
Right. More,
you know,
options,
and
please.
So I think even this movie is to show that there's more options than what you see on TV. It's kind of like, look, there's options in terms of talent, but also in terms of story, you know, because story is important. And, you know, whoever's writing, you know, scripts, you know, need to understand that it's possible for Asian people to act outside of what they know in stereotypes.
When your, let's say, parents or grandparents, if they were so lucky as to see the film, be around and see the film, and Shane's saying, well, look, these are young guys depicted in the film who are trying to get away from that just nose down study thing, trying to live. Danny, are they going to look at this and say, great, way to go, you're American dudes now, you're bros, you know, rock on? Or are they going to say, oh, no, you know, get back in the discipline or get back to the old ways? I don't know. What kind of reaction do you get from the generation above you?
Well, I'll tell you how my parents reacted when they saw the movie.
Yes, please.
They were surprised that so many people showed up to see the movie. But ultimately, my parents... before I started doing stand-up full-time, I was a business consultant. So I worked at a corporate. So it's funny that Chris Rock brings up PwC because I worked at KPMG. And so I understand that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a steady job and my parents were proud. And then I dropped the bomb on them. I said, hey, I have an itch I need to scratch and I need to do this. And so they were totally against it.
Like be a comedian, make film, whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they couldn't really do anything about it because I helped pay off their mortgage. It was kind of like, you know,
good
secret
son.
Blackmail. Yeah, you know. But you know, after I paid off their mortgage, I was like, okay, it's time for me to do, you know, what I want to do. And I was doing stand-up, you know, in college. And so it was a time for me to move. And in all honesty, it was hard. I mean, I made from making great money to the next month, I made $60. And I'm like, hey, homeless people make more than $60 a month. You know what I mean? So it was tough, but, you know, it's something that I wanted to do. And, you know, that's kind of why I feel like my parents, at the end of the day, that's what parents should want, is for their kids to do what they want to do. If they love it and they have passion for it, then so be it. But I think in terms of... you know, my parents' generation, they just want stability for their kids, you know, and this is not a stable job.
Yeah, this movie was, I don't know if it was a good idea because my mom watched it and she was like, is this what you do every night?
Is this really what you do?
Clubbing? Are you hungover every morning? You know?
You took me under the bus?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I was like, Mom, it's just entertainment. It's exaggerated. Danny wrote it. Right, I didn't write it.
But it's funny.
I'm just acting in it.
Yeah. Here's Peter, played by Peter Jay in the film. The group's meathead in the movie, K-Town Cowboys at a Bar. His pickup line doesn't work.
There are still plenty of good, real men out there. And I ain't scared no independent woman. Keep the mask sexy.
Ew. Gross.
That line does
That's
not
That's pretty
work.
Accurate. Yeah, right. That happens to Peter.
That's the way it goes down. Brian Cheung, producer, Danny Cho, comedian and co-writer and acting in Shane Yun, acting in K-Town Cowboys. Please stand by in L.A. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
This
This On Point podcast is supported by Squarespace. If you have a passion that you obsess over, if it keeps you up at night, if you live for it, you should show it off. With easy-to-use tools and templates, Squarespace helps you showcase every detail of what drives you. Because if it's worth the effort, it's worth showing to the world. Start your free trial today. Visit squarespace.com/onpoint. That's squarespace.com/onpoint. Squarespace.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with young Korean Americans about their lives in America, in L.A., right now, their experience, 2016, and the new film, K-Town Cowboys, as in Koreatown in L.A. Shane Yoon is with us from L.A., one of the actors in the show. Danny Chu, comedian, actor, co-writer. Brian Chung, producer of K-Town Cowboys, all with us from Los Angeles. And you can join us as well. Are you glad these guys are stepping out with their own film about their own scene? How do Asian Americans ever claim a decent piece of Hollywood? How do they bust out and play any role, every role? And what's your question for this rising generation of young Korean American guys? Victoria Kim covers Koreatown and the Korean community for the Los Angeles Times. She joins us in just a second. A couple calls first, and we're going to go straight to Victoria. Emilio is on the line from Oklahoma City. Emilio, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, everybody.
Emilio.
I just wanted to thank you guys for making this film. I'm not Asian. I'm Mexican-American, and I'm also a filmmaker. I'm a director as well. I just want to thank you guys because there's not a lot of non-white directors and filmmakers in the industry today. So I just wanted to thank you guys for putting this out and being a voice to us, because we need to step up and, we need to show Hollywood that there are other voices out there and stories that need to be told. So I just wanted to thank you guys for this film. Man. And I can't wait to see it.
Solidarity from Emilio there in Oklahoma. It's cool.
Boom.
We got the OKC cosign.
actually, I'm really glad Emilio said what mm-hmm. he said about mm-hmm. our need to step up because mm-hmm. I think there's a responsibility both on the filmmaker and the community side in a sense that, yes, the situation on the ground is that there aren't that many films or projects out there representing minorities. So we can either sit back as filmmakers and just cry about it
yep.
or we can actually do something about it. So the fact that people are taking initiative and taking our responsibility as artists and filmmakers to go do whatever we can to put out good products. We have to step up our game, all of us. I mean, this is show business. This is not show friendship or show charity. We mm-hmm. have to show people that we can put out good products out there that are viable and that make business sense. And we need the community to actually really step up and support those types of projects. So moving forward, it's undeniable. Our projects have to be undeniable and have to stand on its own merits.
I think with K-Town Cowboys, we made it we want everyone to go see it, but also be inspired by it. If you enjoy our movie, great. If you don't, then go out and make something better. Like what right. we want to do is influence and inspire a generation of just Asian Americans, Mexican Americans, anyone who feels the way we do to just go out and create content. And then we'll create a more three-dimensional picture of who we are all across America. Because we're just telling our story from Koreatown, Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not representing all Asians in America. So, yeah, that's one thing we really want to encourage people to do after seeing our film.
Fair enough. And it's just funny. I mean, here's a moment where Danny, a little bit chubby, played by Danny Cho, auditions for a commercial. He's with his casting agent.
So you do know what we're doing in this commercial?
No, not really. My agent didn't tell me any details.
It's pretty simple. You see that hula hoop over there? I want you to hula hoop topless.
Excuse me?
Okay, so having some fun with themselves right there. Brian Chung,
no pride.
Danny Cho, Shane Yoon, standby. Victoria Kim joins us right now, also from Los Angeles. Victoria covers Koreatown and the Korean community for the Los Angeles Times. You can link to her story about K-Town Cowboys at our website, onpointradio.org. Victoria Kim, welcome to On Point. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So what do you make of this depiction? You cover Koreatown in L.A. Did they capture it or a piece of it?
I think they did a pretty good job of capturing it. Koreatown is an incredibly diverse place, and I think they would also tell you that this is not the entirety of Koreatown. There are probably a multitude of stories that can be told out of Koreatown, and this is the experience that's true to how they were raised and how they came of age to this backdrop.
So it just came out at the premiere at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, just hitting theaters, not everywhere, but you know, it's around. I don't know if people have seen it yet, but what kind of reaction are you hearing to what folks in Koreatown are hearing about K-Town Cowboys, Victoria?
I think they're excited to see it on billboards. I think they're excited to be a part of for K-Town to become a part of a larger conversation. I think some of what I was really impressed with while working on the story was the comments that I'd seen about the web series and some of the reactions that had come out to the web series when that first came out.
And, like what?
That a lot of people who thought the story was very reflected the experience that they had in Los Angeles, or they were just fascinated by it to be able to tap into this community that's such an integral part of Los Angeles, but they never really had an insight into. And that's sort of what these guys were doing in the web series is making it a part of that larger understanding of this place and what it's like to live in this place at this time.
Do you feel a frustration when you're on your beat, Victoria, that people don't feel properly or adequately represented in popular culture, or feel that they're represented inaccurately, or they don't think about it?
I think it was stark for me because I actually grew up in South Korea. Mm-hmm. And having been raised in Asia, where all representations in the pop culture that I grew up with, the smart people, the not-so-smart people, the criminals, the politicians, they're all Asian.
Yep.
And coming from that to seeing American pop culture and seeing sort of just the one-note portrayal that a lot of characters seem to have, I think that was pretty stark to me. And also the same thing with covering Koreatown, that I think a lot of people feel that kind of misrepresentation or slight when it comes to pop culture portrayals.
So how do you feel as then a Korean-American woman now about this coming out and solid Koreatown, and it's the bros, about that as the face of Koreatown hitting theaters?
I think I think Shane was saying earlier, they don't claim to represent all of Asian America or probably Korean America. They're telling their stories. And I think that's a big part of changing the landscape in pop culture and in Hollywood is just everybody coming out with their own stories and having that channeling that creative energy to tell their version of the experiences that are true to them.
Shane, do you worry that, you know, your fellow Korean Americans will judge you for the way you portray these young guys' life? Do you worry about the judgment of the K-Town community?
I don't know if it's so much of a judgment thing we're worried about. You know, I think we're pretty confident in the story we told. You know, this is us, you know, but we can't control definitely how people feel about us. So whatever is thrown our way, Tom, we're just going to take it in a positive, you know, way, because they don't know what we went through to get this done. You know, like it was a 5-year journey of just finding the money, shooting the movie, getting it distributed. You know, like they don't know what it takes to make a movie, you know.
Right.
So that's why I was saying earlier, like if you don't like it, make your own, make something better. It's like our movie's coming out today. We're setting a bar, you know, it's set now. You know, so why don't you guys go and do something, you know, if you're not happy
take
with
it. Take it and run. You paid your dues, yeah?
And Tom, I just wanted to add, I feel like it would be arrogant of us to say that our movie is the quintessential Asian American movie. You know what I mean? Like there's so many different stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just it's just some regular movie that happens to be made by Korean Americans. But it's in English, so everyone in America can understand it. And if you don't, there's some tutorials in that, you know, for you. So
we have thick skin.
Yeah.
You know, we're not worried about being judged on it, you know.
Here's a little tutorial.
You're strong.
K-Town Cowboys, a little moment here. Bobby Choi, plays the adopted by a white family young guy. He's trying to order food in Korean. The waiter helps him out.
You should speak honorific way, okay? Instead of saying 줘봐, just 줘요.
Okay. 삼겹살 조금 더 줘요.
Good. Nice try.
Use the honorific there, Adopted.
Gotta use the honorific.
Honorific. Show respect. Show respect. Come on, Arthur in Hartford, Connecticut. You are on with the K-Town Cowboys guys. Arthur, hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay.
What's up, Arthur? We're doing good.
So I had this question. Do you guys have a specific stereotype that you hate the most?
What's your perspective in that question, Arthur? You mean about Asian Americans, or where are you coming from?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a Filipino Asian American.
Okay.
And you know, I have a couple of like hated stereotypes that is thrown on me, and one of them, I thought Filipinos are just Pacific Islanders. They're not Asian. Or I heard Filipinos eat dog. Or I heard Filipinos or just Asians in general are just smart. And I hate those stereotypes very much. Do you guys have any that you hate the most in your culture, especially in the Korean culture?
LA guys, what do you say to Arthur?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I hate is when people ask me where I'm from, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm from LA. And they know, where are you from?
From,
you know, and it's like they want to break down your ethnicity,
yeah.
You know, to be, oh, well, I'm Korean.
From my dad's two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah. Or that we're, you know, for auditions, like Danny and myself, when we go on auditions, there's just some roles. And our friend Justin Chan just wrote an article about this where, you know, you go in to do this role, you prepare, like you try to make this character three-dimensional, and mm-hmm. you go in there like, yeah, we're going to want an accent nice and thick, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like that just serves no purpose to it.
Yeah,
you know?
I had an experience where they wanted me to, they were like, yeah, Danny, that was a good audition, but can you do it in an Asian accent? I said, okay, which one? And she went, yeah. That doesn't matter.
Oh, you know, the Asian one.
Yeah, just an Asian one. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
There's a lot of ignorance
yeah.
in Hollywood.
Well, and you know, there are certain stereotypes that I think people send our way thinking that they're trying to compliment us in certain ways, too.
Like what?
Well, I remember I was on a we were totally random, but I was on a long-range precision shooting course, and the instructor goes, "Well, you know, long-range
like sniper
precision
work in the military,
exactly.
I guess,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
So they go, long-range precision shooting is all about math. You have to do some, you know, some crazy complication or like complicated equations, and you got to be able to figure it all in your head. And the entire all the students were huddled around the instructor, and every single student in Texas turned around, they're staring at me. And I'm looking around.
You're
going
to rock this, man.
Like, I'm going, I majored in English at UC Berkeley. Right. I suck at math. Don't stop looking at me.
Look away. Arthur, I appreciate your call. Corgi in Springfield, Ohio. Corgi, you're on.
Hi, Tom. It's more of a comment. We're talking about stereotypes, Asian stereotypes and such, and I'm a Japanese-American.
Okay.
But my comment is, you know, I think that with these screenwriters making movies about Korean-Americans or Japanese-Americans or even African-Americans. The way you framed this portion of your show was how can Korean-Americans have their piece of the pie in Hollywood? And I think the answer to that question is, if you want a piece of the Hollywood pie, then groups like Korean-Americans, African-Americans, Japanese-Americans will have to embrace and accept the stereotypes that surround each of those groups, because at the end of the day, really, we're just capitalizing on the hilarity of these stereotypes, right?
Yeah, but isn't that a prison, Corgi? Isn't that a prison? Isn't that a cage? If you just say, okay, I'll go with that. I'll do the white face thing, or I'll do the, you know, just off the boat from China thing. Isn't that a kind of cage?
I'm not sure what you mean. I think it's kind of a good thing and a sobering thought that, you know, when I look at a movie like Breakfast at Tiffany's, right?
Yeah.
Mickey Rooney, who's going to do the, oh, Miss Golightly, you must be quiet down there. You know, he's got the huge buck teeth and the slant eye.
Yeah.
I think instead of you know, protesting in the streets and saying I'm going to boycott this movie, I think for me as a Japanese American, I should be laughing at that because it's kind of funny. Or how about Long Duk Dong, who was that character in 16 Candles, and he had a pretty offensive way of portraying an Asian American in an American family setting. But and this guy, actually, in reality, that actor, he went through a lot of depression. He had a lot of death threats in the Asian American community.
Corgi, let us pick it up. Our time is short, but K-Town guys, how do you respond to that? Embrace the stereotypes. That's business. That's showbiz. Embrace it. What do you say?
You know, I would agree with him if those weren't predominantly the only roles out there for the Asian American male. I mean, if the roles were so diverse that we have a plethora of roles for, let's say, Asian American male actors, mm-hmm. where they don't have to be doing kung fu kicks or speaking mm-hmm. in a funny accent, mm-hmm. right? Where they could be a leading man. When's the last time you saw a leading Asian male man have a kissing scene in a regular mainstream American film, right? Yeah. So if we had a plethora of roles for these guys and had the wide spectrum, and that was only one of the spectrum, I think we could embrace that. But if every time you go out and that's what the casting directors are asking for, and like you said, it is just almost a prison for the roles that we have, I think that's when we have a problem.
I mean, I do remember Daniel Day-Kim in Lost, and plenty of women who might have enjoyed a kissing scene there. One more from K-Town Cowboys. Danny Cho asks a successful comic, this is Dwayne Perkins, whether the comedian's life gets easier.
Will it ever get better? It's a tough business, man. You know, think of it like this. It's like a line at a deli, okay? You stick with it long enough, your number will get called. And try not to suck.
I'll try.
Is that the lesson, Danny? Stick with it. Try not to suck. Stay in. Go for it.
Tom, I believe it. I mean, you know, to me, jumping into this was very faith-based. I mean, you got to believe, even if you don't see the thing, you know, the fruits of your labor, I guess. And so, you know, all I can do is believe that you know, that I'm talented enough and my team's talented enough. So
you're going to do some more of these, or are we going to see K-Town Cowboys come back?
I mean, it's in the works, but, you know, it really depends on, you know, financing and, you know, I'm just really more concerned about how, K-Town Cowboys 1 will do.
Brian, where's it opening?
So we're opening 4 cities today, theatrically: Los Angeles, CGV Theaters in Koreatown, the Empire 25 in New York, the Metreon in San Francisco, and Cinemars Theater in Fairfax, Virginia.
There's a start, and we wish you great luck. Victoria, are you recommending this? People, go and see it. Go check it out.
I think it's a fun ride.
Fun ride. Victoria Kim with the LA Times, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And K-Town Cowboys guys, Brian Chung, producer, Danny Cho, co-writer and actor, Shane Yoon, actor in K-Town Cowboys, thank you so much to all three of you. This was really fun. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.